I want to start with Romans today. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. The title of what I'm speaking about today is simply Welcome. Welcome. And I've put it together for those of you that are new and those that are older. Just some fresh thoughts to think about. It's good stuff to always be thinking. So this is Paul writing. And he's writing to, it's the book of Romans, so he's writing to those in Rome. And he says, to all in Rome, this is verse 7, who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he jumps down to verse 11. I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged in each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I'll pray. Father, we love you. We love your word. And as we come to ponder your word, we pray that you would speak. Father, in Jesus' name. So, as I said earlier, welcome to our family. And if it's not your first time here, if you've been here for many, many years, welcome back to family. Welcome to our whānau. Welcome to God's idea of what it should be like to journey in Him with others. And it's good to note that this is not our idea. Family is not some idea that we've come up with. It's the way God designed it when He created Adam. And then he noticed that Adam was alone. And he said, it's not good that man be alone. And so he created Eve. And that was the first human idea of family. Although when I was thinking about it, God was actually the first idea of family. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I guess, I don't know, but I guess the angels are part of that family as well. I guess they all hang out together, doing life together, in a sense of family. So from that, there is family. You move on from Adam and Eve, and there's many different families come. There's Adam and Eve, and there's Cain and Abel. And I was thinking about family. There's all kinds of different families, families that are healthy, families that are unhealthy, and families where really bad stuff happens. You have all kinds of scandals and all kinds of things happen in the Bible. And the Bible doesn't, it's one of the things that blows me away about the Bible is the Bible doesn't shy away from it. It just says it like it is. It doesn't try and cover and sweep stuff under the cover. It just says it like it is. It doesn't leave stuff to your imagination. Adam and Eve got together and it says they had sex and Eve became pregnant. Hope you would have corrected me if I had said Adam got pregnant. We're not living in the area where we want to make that kind of mistake these days. It is, you know, I won't go down that track, but, you know, the Bible just doesn't try and hide stuff. And so in the Bible, in the Old Testament in particular, but in the New Testament also, there's lots of examples where things get really, really messy. And the thing I take from that is families are messy. Even Christian families are messy. I speak from experience. Our family can be messy at times. I'm not just talking about kids' bedrooms. One of our daughter's bedroom was so messy, Jean used to get so stressed out that I used to say, just close the door. Close the door. Leave them to it. Eventually, they'll get sick of the mess or they won't be able to leave the room because they'll be so stuck in it, and we won't have to worry about it anymore. You know, there were lunch boxes from 2-3 weeks before, you know, that were becoming all kinds of fungal kind of experiments and whatnot. And, you know, you have had kids, you know about kids. If you haven't, I'm sure you can understand. But families are funny. Families are messy at times. But families are also wonderful. And that's why God thought of them. He didn't decide that families would be perfect. And so we don't have to be perfect, do we? Because we're not perfect. We're on this side of the grave. Maybe it'll be, you know, it will be different. The Bible speaks about it being very different. But today, in this world, things are messy. So I want to just run through some thoughts. And if you write, the easiest way to do it is if you are taking notes, if you write whānau running down your page, funnily enough, it's going to marry up with what I'm about to say. So the first thing is wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly decide to settle and build. So as part of our whānau, decide to settle and build here. Jump right in. Jump right in. Don't just stand and dip your toes in the water. Jump right in. It doesn't matter whether you've just arrived or you've been here 10 years or 40 years. In the next 5 years, I think it's about 3 years away, we will celebrate our 50th Lane Park Church anniversary, which is pretty exciting, isn't it? I think it's our 42nd coming up and only a matter of weeks away on Father's Day. But wherever you're at, whether you're new or whether you've been here a while, are you still right in the water? You know, we used to sing this song and it was jump into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. I think it was wet yourself in the waters of his love or something, if I'm trying to remember off the top of my head here. But it's, you know, God is not into toe dipping. God is into baptism, isn't he? He doesn't, you know, he's not into sprinkling as such. He's into full immersion. Jesus didn't sprinkle, he fully immersed. He had others fully immerse people. He's into baptism. He's into the full commitment. So jump right in. Commit to God. Commit to faith. Commit to God's family that you're journeying with. Jump right in. Turn up. Be at church. Be encouraged and be an encouragement. Be encouraged and be an encouragement. Don't just come to receive. Come to receive and come to give. That's how it works. In fact, when we focus on giving more, we get more. Have you ever sat in one of those circles? We used to do them at youth group. We'd have heaps of us, like about 20, 30 of us, and we'd sit around in a circle and we'd mess each other's shoulders. What did I say? Message. Hang on, message coming in. We'd message each other's shoulders. Hey, that's comfy. Can you pass it on? No, we'd massage each other's shoulders. Sorry, I'm tired. I'm not really, but, you know, we would massage and we'd make a circle. Now, I was just giving a massage, but by doing it that in that system, I was getting a massage at the same time. And it's like that. When we all serve, we all get served. When we all give, we all receive. But if we hold back, if we all hold back, then none of us get. That's why we say here at church, do something. Like, you know, volunteer. And I know some of you may not be able to. Some of you may be just so busy with work that you just don't have time. But if you can, volunteer just in one area. We're not trying to burn anyone out. We're trying to be healthy. We're trying to be wise. We're really careful about looking after our people. We love you guys. We want you guys to be healthy and full and have room in the tank for some more. Not stretching and going, oh, I don't know how I'm going to get through. We want you to be healthy. We want you to have enough energy that you smile and you, you know, and you laugh and you joke and you can remember the last time you had a good time here. Because that's what disappears when we get tired, isn't it? We start forgetting the last time we had fun. I remember when I was a trainer in the police, I remember dealing with some staff that had been in the police for a long time, doing lots of, you know, at times difficult stuff. And some of them would forget the last time they had fun. And I would say, if you can't remember the last time you laughed or had fun, it might be really unhealthy for you, and maybe you need to weigh up your options going forward. It may be time to leave. Now that sounds like a big claim, but we want you to be healthy, you know? So jump right in. Family is God's idea. It started with Him. Number two. Hospitality builds closeness. Hospitality builds closeness. Hospitality is the act of being kind, the act of being friendly and welcoming to guests and visitors. The act of being friendly and welcoming to guests and visitors. You know, hospitality in Judaism was actually a requirement. Showing hospitality to guests, which included people from out of the region, you know, visitors from travellers from afar and that, was actually considered a mitzvah, which is a commandment. It was actually a requirement. It was almost the law. You had to be hospitable. It's quite powerful, eh? It's quite amazing. And we should be too. It's welcoming people at church. It's helping visitors to orientate and navigate our environment. People, when they come into church, they don't know the rules. They don't know the culture. Well, they kind of do if they've been around Christian circles. I mean, you know. But they don't know where the toilets are. They don't know where the cafe is. They don't know to get there quick because there's a big long queue. They don't know where stuff is. So we need to help people as they come in to orientate and move around. We need to help them get to the preschool, the new parents' room. If they have young intermediate age kids, how to get up to frequency, where frequency is. The fact there is a frequency program. You know, if you have people come in and they have young kids, think about telling them there's a preschool. Do you want me to take you and show you where it is? These are all things that we do to be hospitable. Coming and sitting. I love, there's too many to name, but I, you know, there's a bunch of you who are just so good at this. I watch you. You meet people and you see that they don't have any friends turned up with them, so you go and sit with them. And then you hang out with them and you chat to them and you introduce people to them. That's a really good thing we can do. If we have new people at church, introduce them to a bunch of people. Because the chances are they're going to meet a whole bunch of people that they feel comfortable with, and then they can kind of, you know, friendships form and they get invited out for maybe a coffee or something. But we can also take them out to the cafe, catch up with them through the week, you know, have a catch up, do a coffee date with them or something, or catch up with them for a meal, or invite them to something, to a life group, or to the next women's event, which is coming up soon, which is going to be stunning. It's going to be a rock concert, I hear. Did you say exactly? Not exactly. I thought you said exactly. I'm sure you said exactly. Or men's breakfast if it's coming up. And there will be one coming up. But it probably won't be men's breakfast. It'll probably be something centred around some sport or something. We're called to build his church. And hospitality is a powerful tool to do this, isn't it? How many are here because someone invited them here? How many came to this church and you stayed because someone latched on and you thought, man, these guys are friendly? How many are here because you met people and they were friendly and you thought, this is wonderful, these are good people? This is all good. This is hospitality. The third one is allow the fruits of the Spirit to operate. Allow the fruits of the Spirit to operate. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. In other words, do it and do it and do it and do it and never stop doing it, because there's no law against it. Keep doing it. Opening the door for someone else's kindness. Faithfulness to our partner despite them being sick and things not going well is faithfulness, isn't it? Wanting to let rip at someone who gives us bad service in a shop or somewhere is self-control. Live out these ways. The health, faithfulness to your partner kind of cracked me up this week. I've been noticing that my eyesight's been struggling for a little bit, especially reading my notes on stage. It's just been getting really difficult. And so I thought, I think my eyes might have changed again. So I went off and I thought, I'm sure it's only about a year ago since I had my eyes checked. I think when I checked, it was about, five years ago, something like that. It only seemed like yesterday I was there. I went to get my eyes checked and they said, your eyes are actually, the linings in the back are very thin and we think you should do a glaucoma check. And you also have cataracts. They're not really bad. We'll probably need to operate, but probably not for a year. But I thought, I laughed and I thought something was going on with my eyes. That explains a lot as to what I've been feeling but not quite understanding. So Jenna's going to love me regardless. She's going to be faithful to me regardless of bad eyesight. I don't think she needs to worry until another woman is walking past and I say, "Hi, honey." Slap. It's the bad eyesight. It really will be. Because when my eyes 20/20, there is no one as beautiful as her. You like that? Had to be there. Or it would have been cold dinner. The fruit of the Spirit is like fresh blood pumping through our bodies. If it doesn't pump through our bodies and keep pumping through our bodies, we don't have oxygen. We need oxygen to our organs. We need oxygen to our tissue. It sustains us. And the fruit of the Spirit sustains us as well. It's those beautiful encouragement. It's the, just ways, to get through and just love each other to bits. And it helps us to... We basically have the opportunity to operate in the opposite of the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit or the fruits of the Spirit. Both, we have a choice every time. I made a choice. I was in a shop the other day and a lady, doesn't matter whether it was a lady, but I've been in plenty of shops where it was a man, but I wasn't getting good service. And I actually had to bite my tongue not to say something, but that was self-control. That's my opportunity to, and it wouldn't have mattered because I was in a shop out of here, They didn't know who I was. I could have vented and walked out and they never would have known who it was. I could have got away with it. But it's not operating in God's way. God would have known. You know, and I would have known, and they would have been in a worse place for it as well. There are ways to deal with things in loving ways. Number four, never allow unforgiveness to take root. And this kind of follows on nicely from the fruits of the Spirit, doesn't it? Never allow unforgiveness to take root. If you hang around here long enough, you will be offended. If you hang around long enough, you will be offended. I will offend you. Someone else will offend you. This is not a prophecy. It's just a cold, hard fact. We all get it wrong. We all make mistakes. But the gold is that we're family and we come back together. And we work through those situations. Is anyone here from a perfect family where no one's ever been offended? Anyone here never been offended from family? No, there's no hands. I have been. Gina has been. The kids all have been. I've said all kinds of, you know, crazy stuff. They've said all kinds of crazy stuff. None of us have got it together. But the fact that makes us different is we love one another. And we come together and we put it right. Overseas, there was a, when I studied marketing and that, there was this thing, strategy, that recognised that businesses that make mistakes, if they put them right, their standing with the customer is actually at a higher level than before they made the mistake. Now, did I say that right? Oh, exactly. Sorry, I thought I'd made a mistake. I am not suggesting that we do a marketing strategy and offend everyone so we can then apologise and put it right and be in a higher standing. All I'm saying is when we make mistakes, it's retrievable. We can work through, we can apologise, we can own our mistake, and that's about integrity. We have to have integrity to work through these things and admit and put them right. But we must not hang on to unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will do you damage. If I offend you and you hang on to unforgiveness, it'll damage you more than me. I will still get up the next day. I will still wake up. I will still have good days, but you won't. You must forgive. I must forgive you. If I don't forgive you, life will still go on. The sun will still come up, but it will be worse for me. We've got to forgive one another. Unforgiveness is a poison that will spread and choke out the vine of your life. God says forgive. Jesus made it very clear. It's a commandment, not a request. He says, if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. That's not a request. It's a very clear commandment. He's saying you forgive or you will not be forgiven. He didn't say it to make the other person feel better. He did it to do a work in our own hearts. Because we learn something through the process of having to come to a place where we forgive others. Now, that doesn't mean that we let them walk all over us again. That doesn't mean we put ourselves in unwise situations. We are wise as a result of that transaction or whatever's happened. But it means we remove our heart from the poison that can happen. And we get counsel. We talk to people. We get wisdom. So we need to deal with unforgiveness. We need to take an axe to it and cut it out. The devil loves unforgiveness. And he plays the long game. The devil, I recognise, uses strategies that he takes people out over decades, not minutes. That's why I've got a whole bunch of friends who we were in youth group together, and they loved Jesus. They loved Jesus. They were hungry for him, but they don't walk with him today. Why? Because over decades, their love was just slowly tempered down a degree at a time. Not overnight. You see that coming. You feel that coming. But it's the tweaking, the gentle tweaking, the scaling the fish one scale at a time. The cooking the frog in the pot gradually. We don't see it coming. Frog doesn't see it coming. The devil does. It's his game. It's his strategy. He's clever. God is smarter, though. That's why we need to stay white hot, and that's why we stick with God's principles and don't give in to unforgiveness. Number five. How's that time going? Oh, I'm going to speed up. I'm almost there. Aspire to learn and grow. Aspire to learn and grow. So we're back to the scripture I started with. Romans 1, verse 11. I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. See, Paul realized that when we hang out together, we bless each other. When we hang out together and God is the central focus, I'm not talking about we hang out together and just talk about the All Blacks, how well the All Blacks played rugby, or how well, the New Zealand women's football team did, or how well the kayaking team overseas, or how well work went. It's in a God context. So we may talk about that stuff because we are human, and believe it or not, that is part of this world, and we are part of this world. But Paul was wanting to come for a spiritual reason, and his spiritual reason was to impart some kind of gift, spiritual gift, to sharpen us, or the Romans in this case, but the same principles apply today. When we come together, just as Paul was coming to the Romans, as we come together today, we come together to impart spiritual gifts to one another, to encourage one another, to pray for one another. Gina prayed for miracles. Miracles is a spiritual gift, isn't it? The gift of miracles, the gift of healing, the gift of tongues, the gift of prophecy, the gift of faith. These are all spiritual gifts. And these are the things that Paul was wanting to talk about people, spend time and sharpen up, and mutual blessing was what he was wanting to come, that he would be encouraged and they would be encouraged. And so Sundays, we walk in that as well. You are encouraged and I am encouraged. You are encouraged and Gina's encouraged. Jared's encouraged and Luke's encouraged. Why? Because we hang out in God. We're blessing each other. We're speaking destiny into each other's worlds. We're speaking life into each other's situations. Someone's got a terrible situation and we're spending time encouraging them and praying for them and saying God is with you in this, but God will find a way through. We don't always know what that looks like. We don't join a happy club where everything turns out perfect. That's Hollywood. This is the real world. Sometimes we pray for people with cancer and they die. It's reality. It's life. Sometimes it's God's plan. But we encourage. We do life together. We sharpen each other. Right under that is the verse from Proverbs 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. I get a picture of a knife and a steel. It's not a carving knife and a piece of wood. It's not a knife and a piece of plastic. It's not strong enough to sharpen the knife. It's a knife and another piece of steel. Because what happens with a knife, we can't see it with our eyes, but the very tip of a knife blade is so thin that it doesn't actually get blunt, it actually folds over. And so when we're sharpening it with a steel, what we're actually doing is causing the jagged edge to actually stand back up and sharpen up. Steel sharpens steel. Iron sharpens iron. And we sharpen each other. Number six, understand and play your part. Understand and play your part. We all have a part to play. No one's more important than others. And God, we're all the same. He doesn't say this person's three because they do this, and that person's a four because they do that, and that person's a six because they do that. Being on stage doesn't make you any higher up to God. He looks at our hearts, and that's all that matters. I think there's a whole bunch of stuff. God just, it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. It's like churches. God looks at churches. Do we love him? Do we obey him? He doesn't care whether the band's loud or quiet. He doesn't care about what fashion we wear. He doesn't care whether we meet in an auditorium or we meet in a tent. That's just mode. That's just method. It's irrelevant to God. That's for us. That's what makes us feel good. That's what makes us feel more comfortable. God cares about, do they love me and are they doing what I want them to do? Read the sheep and the goats. That's all that matters. We need to understand our part. And we need to play our part. It is to love God with everything, and it is to work with other people, bring other people to Jesus, and build other people up. We call it discipling, or making leaders. You know, we create all fancy terms, but it's just building each other up. You know, iron sharpens iron. I'll finish with this. Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus stood, had told them to go. When he saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age." So my invitation to you is to come and dance to this song called Life in God and Life in Whānau. Welcome. If anyone needs prayer afterwards, we have elders, we have ourselves. I spoke about unforgiveness. I spoke about a bunch of things. If anything stirred up in your heart, you know, maybe you've tried forgiving, but you can't. Come and get some prayer for it. God can. When we can't, God can. Have a great week. Take them out.